This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Is what we need a hefty dose of grain alcohol?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Is it just moonshine, or is it a viable way to reduce gasoline consumption? President Bush made energy independence a primary focus of his State of the Union address last night. He's suggesting we need to cut our use of gasoline by 20% in the next decade, primarily through alternative fuels such as ethanol. This morning, the debate begins, and some experts already beg to differ. Jerry Taylor is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, a Washington research group that champions limited government, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about the president's emphasis on energy security and independence, and he wants to boost our use of ethanol. Is that really the way to energy independence?
Well, it would certainly make us less dependent on trade for our energy. But if we took all the corn that we produced in the United States last year and dedicated it to ethanol production, then we'd be able to reduce U.S. gasoline consumption by all of about 12%. So the fact is, if we wanted to make significant inroads on gasoline, we'd have to harvest a heck of a lot of corn.
What about energy security? The president proposed boosting the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Is that a good idea, bad idea?
I think it's a terrible idea. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve is a complete boondoggle and a burden on the taxpayers. It's sort of a buy high and sell never policy. The idea was that the U.S. would stockpile oil in times of emergency. But it turns out that the federal government usually buys oil at its greatest pace when prices are highest, because that's usually when fears about disruption are highest. So that's when we buy. And then we generally never sell, no matter what the incident, in any consequence. And finally, I don't think it's the government's business to be manipulating commodity markets. What makes anyone think that the federal government is a good actor when it comes to managing commodity stocks and knowing when to buy efficiently, knowing when to sell efficiently?
This isn't as simple as just stocking it away for a rainy day, huh?
Well, what the federal government does is they stock it away for the rainy day that never seems to come, because there's always the threat of a rainier day in the future.
Jerry Taylor of the Cato Institute, thanks for your views.
Thanks for having me.
The president also surprised some with a brief recognition of what he declared is the serious challenge of global climate change. That issue is getting much more focus from the world's elite, who are meeting starting today in the Swiss resort town of Davos for the World Economic Forum. It's an annual gathering of business and political leaders, and this year global warming is a new bullet point on the agenda. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Davos will be light on Hollywood star appearances this year and heavy on the issues, according to the meeting's organizers. Nearly 1,000 CEOs and board chairs will rub shoulders with world leaders such as British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Stanford University energy policy expert David Victor is speaking at the forum. He says unlike other meetings with climate change on the agenda, this one has all the right players in the room.
The international negotiations on the Kyoto Protocol on global warming and the successor to that protocol, those negotiations for the most part follow what governments and companies are comfortable with and what they're able to implement.
Victor says the message from corporations at the forum will be one of practical solutions. He says once world leaders see that business is already responding to climate change, they'll be more willing to make the ambitious political commitments needed to truly address global warming on a global scale. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Wall Street investors are hoping for some more encouraging profit reports today. Yesterday's bright outlook pushed the Dow up 56 points. The Nasdaq gained less than a point. The S&P 500 put on 5 points.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We've got another housing market story, but it's not another one about the air hissing out of the bubble. In fact, this is a story about a segment of the housing market that appears to be growing. In New York City, where real estate prices have never been low, families are clamoring for space. In Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says they're willing to pay for it as long as ample provisions are made for Junior.
Joseph Korf is showing off the new 20-story glass apartment tower he's building just outside Manhattan.
We are standing on the roof deck at Solaria. What you have here is the opportunity to obtain a 360-degree view.
A spectacular view, the kind you only see in movies, from Midtown Manhattan all the way up the Hudson River. The positioning is so good, Korf didn't want to waste it on just a plain old deck. So he consulted with astronomers and decided to turn the rooftop into a private planetarium.
Children can come and do their homework assignments on various celestial objects that they can now see and move the telescope to. They can get a sense of where it is in the solar system or beyond the solar system.
If you've never shopped for real estate in New York, the prices for this yet-to-be-open building may seem out of this world.
You can get 3,100 square feet of residence for less than $2.5 million.
These days, the most expensive real estate in New York is all about the kids. Families are eager for the amenities of the suburbs without the commute. That's led developers to get creative. One new loft project in Brooklyn boasts a nanny concierge who'll set up play dates and will even find a therapist for your kid. At the Element condos near Columbus Circle in Manhattan, you can't even move in for a year. But developer Shlomi Ruveni says he's already redrawn the building's plans to accommodate.
We thought we would get about 20% of the building to be family apartments, and that's what we built. We are getting so much response, so much demand from families, that right now the balance in the building is 50-50.
Those families will get perks like a kids' gym with a full schedule of classes outfitted by FAO Schwartz, a kids' pool so children don't have to splash around adults doing laps.
This could be a resort in Miami. This could be a very high-end building anywhere really in the United States.
But because it's in Manhattan, a four-bedroom apartment will set you back $2.7 million. And when the kids start to stress you out, there's something for the parents, too. The building plans to offer yoga classes in the on-site meditation garden and a wine valet to help you choose the perfect bottle. In New York, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
They're running a business here, but two...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.